Hi, this is Ali Ciardo in the Photo Field Notes podcast, and it's September, and I'm kind of trying to settle into a new schedule, working 5 days a week, but shorter days. My four-year-old started Young Fives, which is basically pre-K at the public school, and I haven't told this story publicly, and it's totally unrelated to photography, so I'll make it fast, but it's just kind of crazy, so I figure I'll share it. So the very first day of school, she's 4 years old. She's like the absolute youngest kid in the entire school. It's this one class in the whole school district for four-year-olds, basically. Like going, they're too young for kindergarten, so it's kind of like a transition year. So she takes the bus. So we put her on the bus, and I've been told by other fellow parents that what do you do when you put your kid on the bus, your four-year-old on the bus for the first time? Well, naturally, you follow your kid to school. And I didn't know this was a thing, but someone told me it's a thing. So luckily, the school was hosting breakfast for parents. So we were like, okay, we'll put her on the bus, and we'll go to this breakfast. It's at the school. That way, we just kind of check on her. We know that she's good. We're good to go. So we go to the school. And we're kind of trying not to get in her way. Like, we don't necessarily want her to see us. We want to let her have her independence. We don't want to be that parent or those parents. And so we're kind of like checking in, and we don't see her. And we're kind of just like quietly going back and forth, and neither of us wants to be that parent. And we see that the buses have come, and the school bell rings, and we haven't seen her yet. And we kind of like peek into the classroom, and she's not there. And 20 minutes pass, and she's still not there. And we go up to somebody in the hallway and we say, hey, have all the school buses come yet? Because our kid's not here. And they say, yeah, all the school buses are here. So our very first day putting our four-year-old on the bus, we lost her. She was missing. And I was trying to hold it together and like think logical. But of course, I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to say on the national news this afternoon about my child and bring her home to me and what's going to happen? And Jeff got me calm and he's like, she's probably at the wrong school. They probably took her to the wrong school. Because we have neighborhood schools. And so sure enough, we asked, they were looking for her, and it turned out that the bus had stopped at a different school. She had gotten off at that school because another kid was like, oh, hey, you're 4 and a half, I'm 5. Well, you're definitely in my class. So follow me, let's go. So she just got off the bus and she went to this kid's class because that's what she told her to do. So ultimately, she realized that her name wasn't on the cubby. She went to the office. It was all taken care of. And they bussed her back to the right school. Everything worked out. But yeah, that's my my first experience as a public school kid putting my kid on the bus. So pretty awesome. I'm adjusting to a new schedule, getting my work done, working on some fall projects, working on some education to always like continue to grow on my end and continue with the podcast, etc. So that's what's up with me. so with that, today we're going to continue Money Month, and we're going to talk about adding value, how you can add value in your business so that you can charge more. And then next week, we're going to be talking with Blair Enns, and he's talking about how to actually price for value. So he's got some really great tips. He's an expert on pricing for value. So let's get into today's episode.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
All right, you know that I always love to ask all of you for little tips and tricks and things and thoughts on the topic each week when I can. So this week I went out to you and I asked you to share, how are you adding value as a photographer beyond just taking photos and delivering photos? What else are you doing to add value for your clients? So I got some great responses. Let me just go ahead and share those responses with you so you can hear what people have to say. So Amy Nicole Photo said, every single collection and session includes prints and heirlooms. For weddings, they get a credit to apply. And for sessions, they pick a session with proof prints or a book. So she's focusing on printed products to add value. Maddie Pichong at Maddie Pichong on Instagram said, help with session wardrobe, over delivering final images and immediate previews. So when I asked her about the immediate previews, she said, I like to do it before I even leave the location to head home. Not always, but 80% of the time. Wi-Fi on cameras is the bomb. It's so fun to surprise them, which is awesome that you do that. That's crazy. I've never even thought to do that. And then Jenna and Ishmael from Kriya at Kriya Photographs said, I just pressed send on the autopilot bridal guide that I bought from you and tweaked for my business. I love it and I'm so excited to share with my clients. So yay. Glad to hear that you're using it and loving it and using it to add value. So Carrie Cheney from @ChaneyDayParade said, for extra value, I go to them for their consult, obviously the session, we meet at our selected location, reveal and order appointment, and delivery of their artwork. I also wrap it nicely so they get to unwrap it in front of me like Christmas. I'm thinking about giving them a gift certificate to share with a friend who might like my services. I also walk them through choosing their artwork images because that's hard to do all by yourself. I send a style guide at the beginning to help them decide what to wear and encourage them to send pics of options. So Carrie's doing a ton of great stuff, which kind of folds into that in-person sales setup as a photographer. Okay, so I wrote down 10 ways that I recommend adding value as a photographer. And this is not an extensive list. It's not everything. It's just some really simple things that you could be doing to add value so that you can charge more. And also to differentiate yourself. So you don't want to look like every single other photographer out there. So what little things, like everyone has shared so far and what I'm going to share, what little things can you pick and choose to use to create a better client experience so that you're adding more value, so that you can charge more, so that you're standing out in your market? All right, so 10 ways, let's go through those. Number one, this is the big one, and this is almost like, to me, if there was only one thing that you did, this is the one I would choose. Help them design the session. So this is a huge way to add value as a portrait photographer. You're not just asking them where they want to go. You're not just showing up wherever they ask. You're finding out what they want to do with the photos. You're finding out where they want to put the photos, how they want to display them, or you're helping them understand how they would want to display them. And then you're designing a session for that. So you're helping them choose outfits that are going to look good if you put those prints on that wall in that room. Let's say the wall is painted a certain color. You want to make sure they're not wearing an outfit that's going to clash with that wall color if that's where they want to put those prints. You're going to help them choose a location that's going to go on that wall in that location. And then if you're more of a lifestyle photographer, you're going to maybe find out what they do for fun, and you're going to capture them doing that. That might be like getting ice cream. It might be hanging out at home or going for coffee in the city. So adding value by making sure that not every session is cookie cutter. You're making it clear that their session is based on them. It's all about them in every single way. And if you're looking for inspiration for this, I have an interview that's definitely worth checking out that kind of talks about this. It's Christy Ryan. So if you go to photofieldnotes.com and you search for Christy, it's spelled K-R-I-S-T-Y Ryan. She's got a great interview about how she designs sessions for her clients. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, help them do something with the photos. And this is, again, why in-person sales makes so much more. You're going to make so much more doing in-person sales than not doing in-person sales. But even if you don't do in-person sales, just helping them do something with the photos. So use a tool like Swift Galleries, swiftgalleries.com, to design wall galleries for them where they can actually send you their photos and you can show them to scale. And that ties back into designing the session. So if you're seeing a photo of their wall and you're seeing what color that wall is and you're helping them put it all together, that's more valuable. You could also just send them a Pinterest board that has ideas at the very least, or you could put together a blog post or a web page that shows ideas, inspiration, photos, or a catalog with styling ideas. Any little thing that you can do to help them do things with those photos, because like Carrie said, it's hard. It's hard for people to decide what to do. It's even harder for them to pick which images. So Swift Galleries is really helpful for that, even if you're not meeting them in person. Okay, number three, give them a slideshow. So let them see their photos for the first time as a slideshow. And it's to music, and it's more emotional versus clicking through a gallery. And even if you, again, aren't doing in-person sales, there's tons of tools that you can use in person. I used to use iPhoto. I actually used to just use iPhoto, and then I bought music on, musicbed.com. And then I would like loop the music forever, and then I would export it and put it on YouTube, and they got to watch it as a slideshow. That was what I used to do. And then I discovered Pixaloo. So it's, let me look it up. Hang on. I'm looking it up one sec. Okay. Pixaloo.com/smart slides. So it's PIXELLU.com/smart slides. Fundy also has slideshows, and disclosure, Fundy gave me their tool for free to try. So they have slideshow capability too. Any of those tools are a great way for you to start incorporating slideshows into your client experience so that instead of just seeing the photos and clicking through, they get to sit back and see them for the first time. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're giving them the slideshow to own. That means that they get to see it as a slideshow the very first time. Okay. Number four, share just quick tips. So beyond designing the session, you're going to send them a prep email so they know what to expect. It's part of the client experience. You're getting them excited about the session. You're calming their nerves. Maybe you're telling them what kinds of prompts to expect or what kind of style to expect. Quick little tips, like bring a helper if you have a dog, sharing things that are going to make the session just run smoother. And so I know I talked about, I do the bridal guide, the bride guide for my weddings. I do emails for my, and actually I send a style guide for my portraits. Any little thing like that that you can send. Take anything that's ever gone wrong, write it down, and turn it into content, whether it's emails, a style guide, a blog post that you can send, whatever that is. Use those as experiences to share tips with your future clients. Okay, number five. Use a system like Honeybook or 17 Hats or whatever system you love to make signing the contract and paying really easy. And this will help you be quicker to respond too. It's just gonna generally help your workflow be a little bit more smooth. So if they have questions, it's valuable to know that you're gonna get back to them within a reasonable time period. And you should obviously still set boundaries, but don't take days and days and days to respond. Unless it's the weekend, and if you've made it clear, I don't like to respond to emails on the weekend as a rule. So if you make it clear that your office hours are set and you'll respond within so much time, then go for it. But don't wait like a week between emails. So this all goes back to just running a solid business. Too many photographers are running businesses that are just like scattered. They're just not responding to people quickly enough. They don't have a way to keep track of their contracts and their invoicing. This is really important. It's a really easy way to do it. So you can stand out if you are a great responsive business owner with great responsive customer service. Number six, get your posing down. And this is obviously a whole episode by itself, but you really need to commit to the kind of photographer that you want to be. Are you going to use prompts to get natural reactions, or do you work really well with kids and families? Are you great at dramatic, like the dramatic Vogue look? Whatever it is, commit to your style, and you can use this as a value add because you are an expert at fill in the blank style. And I told you about this last week, but I have a free guide over at photofieldnotes.com/laughter with a prompt that I use to get people looking natural and laughing. And that's also my interview with Catherine Taylor, and she talks a lot about how she helps clients look more natural in front of the camera. So that's a good interview to listen to if you haven't already. Number seven, get your clients published. If you've been published in the past and if you are using a tool to get your clients published, clients love being recognized in general. Not all of them, but a lot of them love that recognition. So it's exciting for them to work with a photographer who might be able to get them published or who has that experience in the past. It just makes you more valuable as a photographer. And then my last three ways of adding value are kind of like wedding photographer area. I didn't want to make the whole thing about weddings, but I've got a couple that I think apply more to wedding photographers. So if you're a wedding photographer, write out their timeline. For goodness sake, write out their timeline every single time. You pretty much have to do this anyway if you want to stay sane, because otherwise you're going to end up with 10 minutes for something that you need like an hour for. So be the expert. You know best, and you should be helping your clients with this. Number nine, it's like super simple, but have a styling board. Just buy a styling board. I bought a board from Curio and Oak.com, and I use it for lay flats for like invitations and other details. And a lot of times that photo is part of the first page of the album because it includes all of the wedding details. It has their names, their wedding date, the location, all that good stuff that's on the invitation is a really great starting photo to set the scene for the album. And a styling board is going to make your job easier because you're not running around. If there's no great place to put everything, you're not running around looking for somewhere to put it. It's going to look beautiful every single time. And then I also bought some really pretty silk ribbon on Etsy that I can use for styling. I have a couple little things in my styling bag that I sewed on my sewing machine. You don't have to know how to sew. You can just like literally buy it. And then I also asked to have their florist hold a few extra sprigs, a few extra stems, flowers that I can use for the styling. And that is a really beautiful photo that they totally appreciate. It opens their slideshow, it opens their gallery, it opens their album, it sets the tone for everything. So I love having a styling board. I'm probably going to end up buying another one just to have a couple of different options. Okay, number 10, final tip, bring an assistant. This does cost you money. But this is my first year that I've had an assistant at almost every single wedding, and it's so amazing. So my assistant, Maddie, is a photography student. I met her at a subscription play place that I take my family. She actually works there and she teaches dance too, where my daughter used to go to dance. And so I found out she's a photography student. I kind of just said, hey, do you want to help me at weddings and come along and help me carry my gear and set up my lights and just whatever other things I need. And the best thing that she does is she will fluff the dress for me, so I don't have to run back and forth and do that. Or she will keep an eye out for those little things. Or if there are little kids and they're not quite in the photos yet, she is really great with kids. She keeps them entertained. She does crazy dances behind me to get the kids looking. She'll hold my reflector. She'll keep the family organized. She'll just like make sure I'm not missing anything along the way. She'll do the most random things. She'll get me water. It's just like great. She's my right-hand gal, and it adds a ton of value, not just for me, but also for my clients. She has sewn someone into their dress. She has done like the craziest thing. She's untangled a necklace for a bridesmaid while she's doing something else. So basically whatever we need her to step in and do, she's extra. She's an extra set of hands. She's helping my photography be even better because I can have her do more elaborate lighting setups or hold a reflector. And I can absolutely do this without her. I can pull in somebody from the wedding party to help out with some like a reflector or something. But it's just so great when I can offer that both for myself and for my clients, that things are just going to run so much more smoothly. So having an assistant has been really great for me this year. And I think that it's kind of upped my game a little bit. Okay, so that's it for my 10 tips for adding value and then thus charging more as a photographer. Final note, I'm still collecting embarrassing and crazy stories. So your craziest thing that's ever happened to you as a professional photographer, or your most embarrassing thing that's ever happened. And that episode got pushed back a little bit because I got busy with other interviews and other content, but I have stories, I'm collecting them, I'm excited about them, I haven't forgotten about it. So if you have a story to share, you can just message it to me over at Photo Field Notes on Instagram and let me know if you want to remain anonymous or if you want me to actually credit you with the story, depending on how crazy the story is or how embarrassing the story is. And it's going to be a little bit before I share that episode, but I do still plan to share it. So keep an ear out for that one. All right, that does it for today. Take care, and I will be back here next week with Blair Enns talking about pricing yourself based on the value that you're offering your clients. He's got some great tips, kind of radical thinking on how we as photographers can price ourselves. So come back next week and give that a listen. Take care.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.